Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Dr. Pam Peek, founder of the Peak Performance Center, and Michelle King Robson, founder of EmpowHer.com, cut through the confusion to discuss all things her. This is Her Radio on Radio MD.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Now, have you ever been in a situation where you know you have a deadline, you have something to do? You've got to sit in front of that screen and hammer something out, or do your taxes or all those really fun things like bills and whatever. And then instead of doing that, mysteriously you start cleaning the whole house. I've been busted on this one so many times. When I have a writing assignment, I'm doing a book or whatever, next thing you know, I have pristine closets. What happened? Well, to answer that question, oh my goodness, could it be procrastination? Is one of the world's experts on procrastination, our go-to guru on all things, why are you delaying here? Dr. Tim Pitchell from Carleton University in Ottawa, yes, and the author of my go-to book, Solving the Procrastination Puzzle, A Concise Guide to Strategies for Change. Tim, welcome back to Her Radio. Okay, why am I cleaning my house? I'm not getting my work done, procrastinating, and I'm cleaning everything that's not tacked down.
Oh, there's two wonderful reasons for that, Dr. Pam. The first one, but you're doing a report and it's not going very well. And so you think to yourself, and I'm going to take a little different tack to this. I'm not going to have the closet, but we could go there if you wanted. I'm going to say, I'm going to get myself a snack. So you walk away from your desk and you go to the fridge and you think, I think I'll have that yogurt. And you pick the yogurt up and you see that it's left a little ring. Now, you're not typically the kind of person that always wipes it up, but today you think, it'll only take me a minute to wipe that ring. I'll just get a cloth. And you get the cloth and you go and you reach in and the pickle jar is in the way, but the pickle jar is actually stuck. You know how pickle jars are. You think, it'll only take me a minute to move these other things and put a little bit of hot water around that pickle jar. And on it goes. And 20 minutes later, your partner comes by and says, are you cleaning the fridge? No, I'm working on my report. Because you never made the choice. You never made the choice to clean the fridge, really. You made a rational decision over an irrationally short period of time. It will only take a minute. It'll only take me a minute to wipe that ring. It'll only take me a minute to get that pickle jar free. It'll only take me a minute to pull that shelf out. And pretty soon now you've got this full-fledged task going on, but you never chose to do it. And you don't even identify to someone else that you're doing it. So that's one of the reasons this happens. It might be you're doing your report and you see that hamper full of clothing. You think, I'll just put that away. And then you open your closet and go, this needs to be fixed. It'll only take me a minute to move these blouses over here. And the same story goes. That's one of the reasons it happens. We make rational decisions over irrationally short periods of time. And it's the same reason, of course, that we go to check our email and 3 hours later we're watching kitten videos and we wonder how we ever got there. Same process.
Oh, you do that too?
Don't we all? And it's just a whole. But the better story, we did some research last summer because I've been fascinated by this. Because every student will tell me my apartment's never so clean as when I have an essay or a thesis to do.
There you go.
So we looked at it, and I'll make a long story short. We had our participants compare a task that they knew they ought to be doing, and typically for a student sample, this was their schoolwork, and then their cleaning project. And interestingly, they could see they rated higher their ought-to-do project, their schoolwork in this case, higher on importance, higher on time urgency, and even higher on the notion of relief. How relieved will you feel to get this done? So when we compared the ought-to project to cleaning, they clearly saw that this is much more important and even more value congruent. This is who I am. But the cleaning project compared to the ought-to project was just a lot more fun. Not that it was really fun, but it was more fun than that task at hand, that essay, that thesis, that assignment, or in your case, the report. And so what's going on there is that we're taking the path of least resistance. We're looking for what I've said over and over again in the book. We're giving in to feel good. We want that hedonic relief right now. I want to feel good now because procrastination is that emotion-focused coping strategy for short-term reward. And because I think of future self as a stranger anyhow, I think, future self, superwoman, she can do it. Right now, I'm going to have
fun. Yeah, that's right. I'm now. That superwoman. And, you know, nothing feels better than suddenly realizing I've just color coordinated all my blouses in my closet. Normally, I would never even give a, you know, and then suddenly I've got this report to do and I'm in the closet color coordinating everything. And I stand there just absolutely in wonderment. Wait a minute. Yep. I'm supposed to be doing that boring work. And yep. I've got to, you know, and it's I'm trudging through and it's hard. And it could even be rewarding work, but I'm trudging through. And so I've got to get up a lot and do something immediately rewarding, you know, kind of reshuffle the pictures on my bookshelves or do crazy things. And I think I'm going out of my mind. But you're saying no, that the research says that this is what people do, right?
Well, it is what people do, but sometimes we can feel really pathetic because we realize, like, I actually want to get that report done. And here I am, I feel compelled to do this other stuff. And there's something, another layer in this story yet. So you're absolutely right. There is that immediate reward of getting that closet looking right. But on top of all that, it would be like inside, mom would still say I'm a good girl. Like, I'm doing another ought to. You know, what is a cleanliness is next to godliness. So why are we cleaning?
Oh, yes.
Because I have a lot of ought tos in my life. And some of them are like, I ought to, but I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't feel like it. Now, this one that I've been avoiding for a long time, which might be cleaning that closet, all of a sudden, right. In comparison, this is what I'm going to do because it's still on my ought-to list. And from a social psychological perspective, we say this has a compensatory function. We know we're making a transgression. Like if I insult you somehow, then I've had a transgression against you. But in the case of procrastination, when I'm putting off my report writing or my book writing or whatever it is I'm putting off, now the transgression is against myself, and I have to compensate for that. And that compensatory task then becomes really important. I have to choose something that's morally virtuous, and cleanliness is next to godliness.
Well, actually, that you're absolutely right, because if someone came up and said, I can't believe that you just cleaned your closet, well, I mean, that's ludicrous, because obviously it was something sanctimonious. I actually feel like St. Pam. You know, I'm a good person because I just, you know, I cleaned up whatever, or I, you know, reshuffled books or something, and it just goes on and on. I think that that is actually a scream. When the first time I read that in your wonderful book, everyone out there, it's called Solving the Procrastination Puzzle, A Concise Guide to Strategies for Change. I just sat back and I said, so son of a gun, that's why I keep hopping up. I want an immediate reward, which I'm not getting through, you know, my trudging, you know, around with this deadline on this something I have to write. And at the same time, no one can possibly argue with me. I'm a good person.
And that's the most important thing, you know, is you see yourself that way. But, you know, I guess everyone that's listening right now says, okay, but then how do I beat it? Like, you can see that I'm walking.
Okay, so briefly, let's just go for it. Well, how do
really
you beat
briefly
it?
Is you got to find some little action on the task you should be doing to get going. So make it simple. Find what's the next action. And it could be as simple as, if I'm going to do this report, I have to open up a new Word document, or I have to bring up the couple of emails that were sent to me in relation to this. Or if it's some other task, just ask yourself, what's the next action? And even if it takes, well, it's going to take a bit of effort, just start that action. Because once you've started on that task, your perception of the task changes. We've certainly seen that in our research, and perception of self changes. But the moment you walk away and you start the other task, it becomes much more difficult to come back. So the magic
that is so valuable. That's exactly what I've done. I'll just open something up and I'll just let it rip. And even if I wrote Mary Had a Little Lamb 65 times, at least it was a beginning. Because sometimes you just need to be able to, as it were, prime the pump, especially when you're writing and doing things like this. Everyone out there, we're talking to Dr. Tim Pitchell. He is my absolute favorite go-to guru on all things procrastination. We're doing a full year-long series with him as he guides us through all the crazy stumbling blocks that we have when it comes to getting things done. Thank you so much, Tim, for being on Her Radio once again. I'm Dr. Pam Peek with Michelle King Robeson. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. If you got a question, email us at askher@radiomd.com. And stay well.